Firetalkradio.com.
Theme song.
This is the Firefly Funhouse, and I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I've met along the way.
This is EC3.
Hey, this is Max Brown, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from ATTV, Flipper Flop Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken, not Haughty.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rap, and you're listening to the greatest rap.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Fly, my pretties, fly.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers! And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
This right here means I'm the champ that runs the camp.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out. YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you have Amazon Prime and it's linked to your Twitch account, that's called Twitch Prime. And if you happen to have Twitch Prime, well, you can click the little purple button up at the top of the screen and see if you have a free sub available. And if you'd like to use it here, well, we'd really appreciate it. But if not, that's fine too. We understand. But really, please support the channel. We need love. Anyway, I'm your host, Lindsay Boyd. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
We're here. We're live. It's a Thursday night. It's The Rack, which means you can follow us on interact with us at Wild Talk Radio, at Rack Radio Show, at Lindsay Boyd on the Twitter. So come to wildtalkradio.com, twitch.tv/thirdtierlive, or rackradioshow.com, and talk to us there.
Yes, so please come chat with us, interact with us, have some fun, and let's have a good time, because, well, we're talking, as you can tell by the sound, we're going to be talking all about Royal Rumble tonight. We're going to give you the fallout from that, let you know what happened, and our take on the show. And then we're doing your favorites, news, NXT, tweets, all that in the back half of the show. Don't worry, the big breaking news that happened today. We are going to lead off with that in the second half of the show, because we do want to talk about that, but we had already decided we're leading off with Rumble like 2 days ago when we were planning the show, and then today happened, and it's like, well, crap. So we'll be talking about that in the second half. So I say we don't waste any time, and we just get into Rumble. What do you say?
Let's get into Rumble, presented by, as always, by MBG Films, YouTube.com/MBG1211. Let's do this a little bit differently. A little bit. Favorite thing from the Rumble? Favorite thing, favorite match? What stood out to you the most about the Royal Rumble pay-per-view?
Well, I'm going to say it, and it's going to sound really snarky, but I'm going to say it anyway. Honestly, the thing that stood out to me the most was the fact that the red lighting was gone for The Fiend.
Okay, then that's where we start. Start with Bray Wyatt, Daniel Bryan strap match. Let's talk about it.
So, I think everybody was, like, halfway dreading this match, but halfway really looking forward to it because it's Brian and Bray. And if their performance the last time they got together was any indication, this was going to be a hell of a match. Plus, you throw in the fact that, you know, there's a leather strap involved and they're just going to get a little bit kinky. So, we were all anticipating it, but at the same time, it's like, oh god, it's the dreaded red lighting. We're not going to be able to see anything. And Brian comes out, Bray comes out, they bring the lights up. There's no red lighting.
And you could tell when Bray was walking out, it's like, it's not that red.
No, they had really reduced. And I don't know if it's they couldn't do the red lighting at this show, or they couldn't make it work.
But we talked about it because we watched the Saudi show, and that was in outdoors, and I was like, they can make it work.
I guess they couldn't hear, or they decided not to, or something. They heard the outcry. I don't know. But anyway, the lights came up, and they were normal, and it's like they do the presentation of the freaky title, which is the first time I think any of us have really gotten a good look at it. Because it's been a hot minute since we've seen it.
And part of it is the stipulation for the match. Because the key point of the brutality of it was seeing the brutality and seeing the aftermath of it, which was Daniel Bryan's back.
Yeah. But we're sitting here watching and it's like, okay, are they gonna, you know, maybe take it down after they present the title? Nope. Nope. We got the house lights the whole way through. And when I say they got kinky, I'm not exaggerating. Bray Wyatt knows his way around a leather strap.
Fair.
Not that I think any of us didn't think he would at this point, based on what he's given us. But, you know, confirmation is always good. But Daniel Bryan was the surprise. He knows his way around a leather strap, too. And these two just wailed on each other.
Mm-hmm.
Beat the crap out of each other. Bryan's back is evidence of how hard they were going. He had welts and cuts and everything else going on from how hard they were beating up on each other. But the best part of this match, right, is the end.
Well, let's not get to the end yet. There was a spot we need to talk about first.
Okay.
They were fighting on the outside, and then they get on top of a table, right? And the Fiend is about to put Daniel Bryan through the table, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we got dick kicks.
Yep.
Repeated dick kicks by Daniel Bryan.
You know, at any port in a storm, so to beat the Fiend, there's supposedly a secret to beat the Fiend, according to Ramblin' Rabbit. Nobody knows what it is, but there is a way to beat him. So
They were teasing to take the mask off.
Well, you could. I have to wonder if it isn't take the mask off, but the long suspected theory was you get rid of the red lighting. Because without the red lighting, the monster cannot exist. Well, WWE dispelled that right away.
They did.
So, you know, you can't get the mask off, so I guess the next logical solution is kick him in the dick, because...
I mean, it works on Brock, I mean, so it must work on the Fiend.
It must work on the Fiend, right? He's got all the appropriate parts. He's fathered a child or two, so, you know, that's gotta work, right? No.
It worked, but not long term.
Yeah, it didn't really stop him, and again, maybe wear the protective items designed to make that not hurt. I don't know. Maybe he was, and he probably just sold it, but, you know, it's like, why? They make protective items. You could just wear it, right? I mean, I'm sure it's not comfortable.
You could, but that defeats the story.
Does it?
It does. I mean, they all could be wearing it. They all probably wear something, but...
Except Finn Balor. We know he doesn't.
Well, yeah, it's Finn. Finn is fully exposed.
Finn just goes dick out, y'all. Just dick out. But anyway, yeah, so that was Brian's last resort, but sadly Brian's last resort didn't work. And we get to the end of this match, and there's just a point where they've beaten on each other. They've thrown everything they have at each other. Nothing Brian has done has worked. Nothing the Fiend has done has really worked. And the Fiend stands up and in his silent, eerie, scary way is like, fuck it, I'm done.
Okay, before the I'm done moment, it was the best visual of the night. So Daniel Bryan has the bell lock on with the strap through the face.
Oh yeah, that was
of
sick.
And that was the moment you go, wait, is Bryan going to do it? Is Bryan actually going to do it? Because they had you there. You were on the edge because that was legit the one moment in the match where it went, wait, are they going to? Because it was like the strap was fully in the mouth of Bray Wyatt.
Yeah. Well, for a second I thought he was going to try and choke him with it.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't quite get it there.
He didn't get quite there. But no, then it was, I'm done. Screw it. Fiend not only does a mandible claw, he does the mandible claw slam to finish him off.
Which was pretty damn spectacular. But yeah, it was just that, it was almost this moment where the Fiend just stands up and it's completely surreal because he's fine. Like, he's been going, they've been going for what, 10 minutes at this point?
15.
15, somewhere in there. And they've been dicking around with each other and the Fiend's just like, I'm done. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of playing. I'm leaving now. And you're losing.
And you're losing. Oh yeah, there's one other moment in the match. It's when Bray caught Brian mid-move, mid-air.
Oh my god.
With the Sister Abigail.
That was wicked.
That was awesome. That was so awesome.
I mean, these two just work so well together. But yeah, so the monster makes it quick on Brian, does the slam with the mandible claw.
One, two, three.
And still, your WWE champion, or Universal champion, I'm sorry, Bray Wyatt. The Fiend then disappears into the darkness and comes back, and all we see is a battered and bruised and beaten Brian laying in the ring. The refs check on him. And what was really nice and really subtle was how they did this after, where Brian 100% sold everything.
Selling, really hurting, selling, really hurting.
I mean, but I mean, just that he had actually been like knocked out by the mandible claw, that, you know, he was having a hard time getting up, like all that stuff. Like, he did a really wonderful job of making that believable. Like, Bray Wyatt had just left him laying.
Murdered him.
Yeah. Committed a murder, essentially. So, I mean, it was a really awesome match. It went on about midway through the show, which I guess I was okay with. I just don't know. It doesn't matter either way because it was still good.
It was fine placement.
You know me. I like my boy to close the show.
Yeah, well, the men's rumble closed out the show, so, you know, there was that. It was not Bayley and Lacey who had a really bad spot.
Yeah. Yeah, Bayley and Lacey got the awkward placement of going right after the Women's Rumble, where let's talk about the Women's Rumble before we talk about Bayley and Lacey.
All right, let's talk about the Women's Royal Rumble.
Because that one ties into the other. So the Women's Royal Rumble overall was very good, very entertaining, liked it a lot. There's a couple things that I'm just very conflicted on.
Let's get the negatives out of the way.
So the one thing that I think I'm the most conflicted about is the fact that they had Santina show up.
Okay.
And here's why. Because it harkens back to when the women were a joke. I'm always happy to see Santino Marella and Santina. Like, don't get me wrong. I loved it when they did it the first time. But Sunday night seemed a little inappropriate in my mind for her to be in that match. I get why they did it. Beth was in the match. They called, Beth and Natty were in the match. They called back to all of that. It was a nice little tie-in. It was a nice little surprise. But it's just like, did you really need it? You took a spot away from a girl that could have had it. It's like, I don't know. But it's like, it kind of balances with the fact that she didn't eliminate anybody but herself. Mm-hmm. And she wasn't in the match long.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she didn't touch anybody. And she just eliminated herself with the Cobra and she was gone and it was over. It was like 3 minutes at most for the whole thing.
That said, Santina in the ring was hilarious. I love that she pulled out the Cobra from her bra.
It was funny. It was funny, right? But it's conflicting.
Right. You're conflicting because, it's a dude in the Women's Rumble and it's like it's a joke spot and you don't want them to have a joke spot.
Kelly was the nostalgia factor. That's all. Because she was in the first one. It's always nice to see Kelly. They did a really good job of sort of just having her have her moment. And then she sort of just disappeared and then got eliminated. So I don't have a problem with Kelly being in the match. My other issue, and I'm not so much mad about this. I'm not necessarily upset or anything like that, is the winner. Charlotte deserves to win. I'm not saying that at all. You know, or I'm not saying that she doesn't deserve to win at all. Okay? She has the clout. She has the accolades. She has the bloodline. She has everything to win a Rumble. The talent, all of it. Where my issue lies with it is it's so safe and it's so passe. And it's like, really? We're going to do either Bayley Charlotte or we're going to do Becky Charlotte. because after she won the match, they were like, oh, well, you know, who are you going to challenge on either Raw or SmackDown? Are you going to challenge Bayley or are you going to challenge Becky? And Rhea Ripley was not even in the picture. So at that point, it's like we're getting a match that we've already seen several times at WrestleMania for either women's title. It will be a really fantastic match, but we've seen it. And it's just like, meh. And that's where my issue lied with it, was it took a really good Rumble, in my opinion, and just sort of made it very anticlimactic.
That said, there are rumors and that could change things, as when it comes down to the history of this match, you go, okay, in the moment, it took away from it. If they go the different direction, it may help it.
Yeah, well, the rumors that she was going to face Rhea Ripley were not there Sunday night. They've since materialized, I think, as of Monday or Tuesday. And if she goes and she faces Rhea, that's fine. That's great, because that will do wonders for Rhea and the NXT title.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm cool with that. Like, you know, it's like, if Rhea's on the table, then yeah, absolutely, let's go for that. But if she's not, then it's just kind of like, okay, it'll be good, it'll be great, but it'll just be, okay, seen it.
Right.
And, I mean, especially since you had Shayna come in at 30, she makes it down to the end, she's got Charlotte on the apron, and all she had to do to win the Rumble was kick Charlotte in the face. Yeah. That was the other part of it, was all Shayna had to do was kick her in the face and she would have won. And it's kind of like, really? Really? But instead she goes for some BS move and Charlotte gets the win. And Charlotte like pulls her over with her legs and gets the win.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh God, all you had to do was kick her. That's it. You could have kicked her teeth into the fourth row and won. So, it is what it is. It was a really good match overall. I know some people did not like this match, but we did have multiple returns in this match. Naomi came back.
Okay, so let's talk about Naomi first. Because this has been a subject of the Twitterverse today.
Yeah, I heard about this.
Okay, wow. She has all the rights to be upset and stuff about the people reacting. When you look at it logically, what she did, she could have just stopped on the staff.
Yeah. I sat here watching it saying that. I mean, yeah. I understand the point of what she did, right? She's doing this grand, dramatic,
but
I'm going to save myself moment.
Okay, and we need to talk about that. Come up with something new. She does this every year. There's been three Rumbles. She's done the same exact. I am going to save myself on the barricade spot and hump it every year. One year, the first year she got caught by everyone, and then she got put on the barricade, right? And mm-hmm. and then bounced her way over to the chair and then bounced in. Last year, she did the same thing. She leaped, she landed, did a handstand, put her feet on the barricade, humped her way around, got jumped on the steps, and got yanked off. This year, she built the bridge after, you know, humping over on the barricade and then crossing each thing. It's the same spot.
I mean, it's cool every time she does it, and she tries to make it as creative as possible, but there's only so many ways you can save yourself from your feet touching the floor.
Especially when you see logically, just you could have put one foot on the ground and walked back up the steps.
Yeah, she was already on the steps, and that was the whole thing, is like, I guess you necessarily couldn't stop it, as long as your feet stay on the steps, you're not out. So it's like, even if you fell off, as long as your feet are in the air or they're on the steps, you're fine.
Mm-hmm. Even if you put one foot on the ground, you're
fine.
Yeah,
it's both feet.
Both feet, much touch the floor.
So
yeah.
I mean, it was fun, it was cool, and she did her best. I'm more happy that she's back, because I think she's needed in the division. I know she was missed in the division, so it's wonderful that she's back.
Also, that hair.
That hair was amazing. Awesome.
All right. So, you have the list in front of you.
I'm not done.
Okay.
We need to talk about Bianca Belair.
I was going to say, that's where I was going. Going by the list, let's talk about some people.
What? Wait, what list? I don't have a list.
Go look at Skype.
Go look at Skype. I'm looking at Skype. Oh. It's a picture.
It's a list.
It's a very red picture, y'all.
The list. Bianca Belair was the star of this Rumble.
They made Bianca Sunday night. They absolutely made her. She looked like a beast and a boss and a badass and all the things, and she was awesome.
She dominated the first half of this Rumble, like legit dominated. She lasted 33 minutes in this match, only to get eliminated by Charlotte. Alexa lasted a long time too, so big ups to her.
Mm-hmm.
She was really well. She did really fun. It was a fun addition to the Rumble. Another one is the person who came after her, Mighty Molly.
It always makes me happy to see Molly back.
Mm-hmm.
It made me really happy. Mercedes Martinez made her Rumble debut,
which was cool.
Which was really awesome to see. Still not sure what they're doing with Liv Morgan, but the gear was good. She eliminated Lana.
No surprise.
They took each other out, so it's like, okay, all right, fine.
Okay, so this is no disrespect, but I wrote down Candace, but I don't remember anything Candace did in the Rumble.
I don't think she did or really had a huge impact in it, which is a little disappointing. I think she was kind of in and out.
Yeah, I was like, oh, Blink, you missed her. I was like, oh, poor Candace. But it's 2 years in a row, so that's cool.
Yeah, that's awesome for her. We had Tamina Snuka return.
Yay.
And really in the disappointment of the night for this match, because we all wanted it. It's not that it was bad, it's just we all wanted it, was Dakota Kai showed up. And we're like, where's Tegan?
Number 28.
Dakota was in and out, and it's like, damn it. No, I need Tegan to get out there because I need them to kill each other in the middle of the Rumble, and it did not happen. It was really sad.
Yeah, Dakota, you know who, Dakota was 15, Tegan was 28.
It's like, damn. But we also had another return. A Glamazon made her return.
She was really good in this match.
And
her head, though. Her head.
Oh, my God. So, okay, in case you didn't know, Beth Phoenix, by the way, came back, was dominant in this match, lasted pretty much till the end. So she came in at number 18, and then number 19, and then she went all the way to the end.
She was final three.
She was final three. She busted Charlotte up, and then she busted herself up, where she cut the back of her head open really, really badly in her hair, because her hair was just red from where she had been cut open.
Yeah, and she smacked it on the ring post.
But what I liked is when she reunited with Natty, until she didn't. Like, her and Natty were being a team, they were being the Divas of Doom, they were running the ring, they were taking people out, and then Beth noped Natty and chucked her over the top rope. She's like, it's mine.
It's all mine. Mine.
Mine! And then she sadly got eliminated by Shayna. But yeah, Beth had a really great performance. I was a little sad that Toni Storm didn't have more of an impact.
But she lasted a little while.
She did last a little longer than expected, but yeah, I just wanted her to do more. And in her first Rumble, Shotzi Blackheart showed up.
She did. Tegan made her appearance, and she marked out taking the whatever Beth's finish is.
Yeah. Tegan had a lot of fun in this match. She was like, yeah!
She also got a tattoo to commemorate the occasion. She got 28 on her, behind her ear.
Aww.
Because it was a big deal to her. She's been through two new knee surgeries, and she finally got to make a Royal Rumble.
Because I think she's missed it the last 2 years because she's been hurt.
Mm-hmm. She's missed a lot in the last 2 years because of injury, so it's like, this was a groundbreaking moment for her, so. It's cool.
Which is awesome. It's really, really awesome. And then we talked about kind of everybody else in the Rumble. One other thing I do want to say, and then we're going to move on. And it's a negative, and I forgot to add it to the negatives. But I feel like the commentary for this match was maybe, and this is me because I'm a little bit more sensitive to it than other people, was just a tad gross. Because half the time at certain points in the match, it kind of felt like the announcers, two of the three, were stroking something under a table as they watched the match. Like, it was really just kind of gross. And it's kind of like, I understand Beth could not call the match because she's in the match, but you have Renee Young, or you could have found another female commentator for the match. I feel like you should have had a woman calling this match. Like, Graves would have been fine because Graves is Graves, it's whatever. But Graves and King together was just a little bit too much. But that's me.
Mm-hmm.
That's me personally. And it took me back to a place where the women have fought so hard to get away from, where they're just kind of sort of objectified and turned into, like, basically sex objects and that's it. Because that's what it felt like at certain points in this match. And that's not what it should feel like. And it's just like, can you not? Can you just please not.
Okay, so that's a negative, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's balance it out with another positive.
Okay.
Otis, the shining armor, saving Mandy repeatedly.
Repeatedly until Sonya Deville eliminated her. Mm-hmm. After she said she wouldn't. But yeah, the Otis spot was a really, really sweet, nice, creative touch.
He rolled from underneath the ring, caught her. That was perfect.
It was awesome. So, I mean, all in all, like I said, this was a very good, entertaining Women's Rumbles. It had its negatives, but it also had a lot of positives to it. Mm-hmm. I know some people did not like the match overall,
mm-hmm.
but I felt like it was fine.
Now let's talk about bad placement.
So
Bayley and Lacey.
So Bayley and Lacey had to follow the Women's Rumble and Charlotte winning, and the crowd was not the happiest about Charlotte winning, because I think a lot of people wanted Shayna to win, and she was right there, and again, all she had to do was kick Charlotte in the head, and she would have won. Like, it was that easy for her. So I think the crowd was just a little, I don't know, surly after that. I think the viewers at home were a little surly. And then you had Bayley and you had Lacey come out. And I feel really bad for them.
The crowd was also spent a little bit. Because it's the Rumble, you're geared up for 45 minutes to an hour. And you're just like, peak, valley.
Yeah.
Peak and valley. Peak and, yeah. Because I know why I was. I was like, I need a minute. I need some time to just sort of like, relax. Bring it there.
Yeah.
And like, I don't want to see another match right now. Give me a video package. This would have been a perfect place for a video package. Just sort of like, smooth things out a little bit. But no, we went into a match, and the match was okay. It was not great. It was solid. Bayley won by with the tights. It just wasn't there. And
they don't have the chemistry.
No, they don't.
And, I mean, they tried. The wrestling was, it was fine. It was, but I mean, like you said, it was just, it suffered from bad placement because it was really just there, because it kind of went on in between the Women's Rumble and I believe Bryan and Bray.
Mm-hmm.
So it just had a very awkward placement, and it was used as a cool down match from the Rumble so Bryan and Bray could go out there and kill it. And it's just like, but what else can you put in its place, right? Because there's nothing else on the show unless you're going to put the SmackDown Women's Championship on the pre-show, which, I mean, they could do, but they're not going to do because people would be up in arms. So I think it was the only solution they really had for it based on how the show was laid out.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of the pre-show, Sheamus beat Shorty G and Andrade beat Humberto. There's nothing to really get into on those matches. It's just they were there.
It was fine.
But
Moving on.
But just make sure we covered them.
Yes. Gotta talk about them.
One other quick note before we get into more matches. Steve Austin at the beginning of the show with the VO for the video package. Well done.
That was sick.
Okay. We'll save the men's Rumble till the end. We either can talk about King Corbin versus Roman Reigns or the women's title match for Raw.
Let's talk about King Corbin and Roman Reigns.
Roman won, lol.
Why did this open the show?
Because you were not putting Bayley and Lacey there.
You could have put Becky there.
You could have put Becky there. But you put Roman Reigns and King Corbin, so they had the most amount of time to recover from putting the crowd to sleep.
I mean, it was okay. They did their best.
Okay. It was very slow moving in the first 5-6 minutes. You do one move and it's like, oh, I'm going to slowly come back and hit another. It was very slow moving. We got some excitement when you put, when Roman put, or Corbin put Roman through the regular announce table. Then we got Corbin going through international announce tables. Then you brought in Ziggler and Rude, and then you brought in the Usos and they got the brawl. And so I don't know what happened to Roman and Corbin for like 5 minutes, but they disappeared. So that was a thing. We got a porta potty,
which was gross.
Mm-hmm. Which led to holy shit chants. So most appropriate chants ever.
I'm very proud of the crowd for that. They chanted appropriately. Well done. Good etiquette.
We fought on the dugout. We got a spear on the dugout for the win. Roman Reigns won.
It was there.
But we need. Go ahead.
I felt bad for the guys that had to carry out the diocese. Or not the diocese, but the little, like, the throne thing.
The sedan or whatever they call it.
Yeah, the dais, I think is what it's called. But, yeah. I feel really bad for them because, like, for whatever reason, or for a very specific reason, they had extended the bottom of it so they could set it on the floor. And Corbin can just step off onto the ring.
Mm-hmm.
But you could tell that they were struggling to carry him and it because they had to carry it up. And when you've got, because Baron Corbin's not light, when you've got that much weight, even for six guys, it's just a lot.
Also, the big dog is big.
Oh, yeah, we need to talk about that. You know, I don't know why WWE gave this to us, but they gave this to us. So they did the 3D graphics all night. They were really cool. They were really well done. But WWE gave us the meme of all memes. Because for Roman, they have his dog head that they use, which we're all very familiar with. And there it was, and it was fine. And then they unveiled a new graphic for Roman, which is a 3D rendered model of Roman. He looked really, really well crafted, really well made. Whoever made it did a wonderful job. This has nothing to do with your craftsmanship. I'm just saying that you are perfect. The face! I don't know why this picture got used, but it's Roman doing the roar, right? So he's doing the hoo-ah or whatever it is, but he's arched back, he's got his arms flung out, his mouth is wide open in a roar, his eyes are squint shut, and if you don't know what you're looking at, it doesn't look like he's wrestling. It looks like he's getting something else done, and it's the climax of that moment.
The hoo-ah.
The hoo-ah moment, y'all. He's getting his hoo-ha played with for his hoo-ah. So, I don't know why WWE gave us this, but they did, and thank you. And so, I don't know why. Please, I mean, continue to do that, obviously, because the internet had a blast with this all night, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it just, it was a thing. It happened. I think we actually had more fun with a 3D graphic than we did with the match.
Yep.
This is the best part of the match. Okay. All right. Now let's talk about it.
Becky and Asuka.
This was fantastic. This was wonderful. This was everything you could ever want it to be and more. And they went for it.
They did. I enjoyed this match.
I think one of my favorite parts of this match was when Asuka's going to go do the green mist, and Becky kicks her in the face and kicks her chin up, so she spits the mist up in the air.
Mm-hmm, yeah, then, yeah.
And, you know, spritzes herself.
Mm-hmm.
That was a really clever way to do that. And then pins her face down in the green gunk that's on the mat.
Uh-huh.
Which was gross.
Yeah. Asuka's premature mist. She came a little too early.
She came a little bit too early. She blew her load too early. I honestly wouldn't mind seeing this again. I would be fine with that. I don't think anybody would mind seeing this again. Because again, it was a really excellent, well-crafted match. But you wouldn't expect anything less from Becky and Asuka.
No.
But in the end, Becky stood victorious. And the man beats Asuka and proves that she was, in fact, ready for Asuka. The ending of this surprised me. And I'm going to tell you why. Because the Women's Rumble went on before this match. And when Charlotte won, it's like, well, does that mean Becky's going to lose? Because they're not going to do Becky and Charlotte at Mania. They can't do Becky and Charlotte at Mania. So are they going to do Charlotte and Asuka? And for a second I was like, is Becky going to lose here? Because it kind of felt like that.
A little sense of doubt. That's good though. They got you believing.
Yeah, it's like, well maybe. I don't know. It could be. So Becky winning, it's like, oh, okay, cool. All right. Okay. Yeah, I'll take that.
That's good.
I mean, there's a lot of runway between now and Mania, so anything can happen between now and then, and we've got Elimination Chamber to contend with, so we'll see where we are coming out of Elimination Chamber, but I'm okay with everything that's going on right now. Not that my opinion matters at all, but I'm okay with it.
I'm okay with it. And then we got the Men's Royal Rumble. This was so great. Like, I know what happened. We've talked about Sunday and why, Brock, why. Me and Lindsay sat here cackling and enjoying it. It was so much fun.
I know not everybody liked this. I know everybody wasn't a fan. And I understand that. Because there was a point in this, I think it was about halfway through when he was eliminating people, that it's like, oh my god, he's not going to go all 30. He can't. We're not going to do this. We can't do this. So the fact that he did the first 10 or so was fine. I didn't have a problem with this, because the flip side to that is we so rarely see Brock Lesnar these days, and more so we so rarely get to see him perform. And I feel like in some cases it's absolutely necessary to show how dominant Brock can be. And I know everybody's going to roll their eyes at me and say, no, that's not true. Because we all know he's the beast. He's the, you know, he's the whatever Paul Heyman pontificates for him. We all know what Brock can do. We've all seen it. Except not all of us have. They get new fans every day. And this could be somebody's first time seeing Brock Lesnar. And in that instance, it's good to show those people what Brock Lesnar can do and who he really is and why he's the champion. But it's also good to remind the wrestling public and give Brock a really strong showing, especially going into WrestleMania. Because he's not defending the title here. He technically hasn't defended the title since November.
And thinking back to it, him and Bray did not... Bray defended at the Royal Rumble, but that was Bray's first title defense since November, too.
Yeah. No, well...
Yeah, first title defense.
No, that was The Fiend's.
Bray didn't... It was not a title match against The Miz. That was non-title.
That was non-title?
That was non-title. So it was the first title match.
No, but he's defended the title.
At house shows, but that doesn't matter.
Anyway, Brock hasn't.
Yeah.
Point is, Brock has not. So, I mean, I'm torn on it because, yeah, it sucked. People got eliminated left, right, and center. Some people didn't get to have as good of a showing as other people would like, but at the same time, it made Brock Lesnar look absolutely dominant.
You have to think about who are your featured players at WrestleMania. If you go through the first 13 names, are any of them the featured players at WrestleMania?
Nope.
I rest my case.
And more so, because they gave Brock such a strong showing when Drew booted his ass out of the ring to eliminate him for the Rumble and then eventually go on to win the Rumble, it made Drew look like an absolute badass, which was the actual point of everything that they did, was to make Drew McIntyre look as dominant and as beastly as possible, seeing as he's taking on the Beast at Mania. And that was really the point of it. Does it suck that, you know, Elias, Eric Rowan, which I was, I'm not going to lie, I was disappointed about Eric Rowan. I figured they would have let Eric kind of stand to Brock, but he only lasted 8 seconds. Robert Roode, John Morrison was another kind of a disappointing one. He only lasted 5, and he just came back. It's like, Kofi and Ray had a really good show. They were in there for about 5-ish minutes with Brock.
Oh, my favorite part was when it was Kofi, Ray, and Big E teaming up against Brock.
Oh my god!
And then they're having their moments. They did all their moves, and then Big E rams Brock into the corner. And then he gets down on all fours and wants them to launch. And then I think it was Ray who charged first, and then Brock just destroyed Ray after he caught him and tossed him out. And then Brock Lesnar decides, all right, I'm going to be a luchador now. He just runs on the back, jumps off the back of Big E and just lands on top of Kofi.
It was fantastic. And then can we talk about the Shelton Benjamin stuff?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, Shelton Benjamin and Brock, they're friends. Benjamin comes out, and Heyman's like, hey, buddy! Clapping and laughing and welcoming Shelton to the ring. They were college roommates, right? So, Heyman's all excited to see Shelton. They shake each other's hand. Heyman's like, yeah, get up and in the ring. Brock's laughing and like, hey, my friend. They hug. They slap each other's backs. We see an arc of sweat that somebody could have showered in come off of Brock's back. It was nasty, but it was there.
It was there.
And, you know, they're posing together, they're laughing, they're having a good time, right? You know, Shelton's there to help Brock, right? He's going to help his friend supposedly win the Rumble, and so that way he doesn't have to defend his title at Mania. That's the plan. That's what Shelton's going to do, except Brock's like, nope, and throws him out of the ring.
That's great. Oh, can we talk about Elias's guitar, the Brock's guitar shot to Elias?
Oh my god, that was nasty. That was just nasty. Like, what the F? Is Elias okay? Because, oh my gosh, that did not look like it felt good. At all. But we also need to talk about Keith Lee.
Oh, before we get to Keith Lee, whose music was Brock busting a move to? Was it Shinsuke's? Was it MVP's? I forget.
It was MVP's.
It was MVP's?
Is MVPs.
Okay, when Brock doesn't care, it's the best.
Brock is annoyingly entertaining when he wants to be. It really sucks sometimes. And in this case, he was just having fun. He was just hanging out, having a good time, enjoying himself, and it was annoying because it was entertaining. But yeah, Keith Lee shows up, right? Keith Lee, who I would argue is probably going to be a threat to Brock Lesnar within the next 2 years if Brock is still around. And is going to at least be NXT champion in 2020. That's my call. But Keith Lee shows up and Brock looks at Keith and is like, who the fuck is this?
Who is this big MF-er?
And Heyman's like, that's Keith Lee. And then Brock starts jaw-jacking, right? He's like, oh, you're big. Yeah, you're big. You know, you're strong. Yeah. You can't beat me. And then Keith Lee proceeds to just smack the crap out of him.
Good. It was good.
And the two have a nice little tussle, and they fight, and that allowed some other people to get in the ring as those two fought.
Mainly Braun Strowman.
And this is the point in the match where, okay, this has got to be where Brock's getting thrown out, because it's like Keith Lee's in the ring. Braun Strowman was in the ring. Ricochet showed up.
No, Keith Lee and Braun got eliminated, and then Ricochet showed up.
Okay, I thought they were all three in the match at the same time. But anyway, so Keith Lee and Braun Strowman are in the match, and it's like, surely Brock's not going to get rid of them, but he did, sadly. But yeah, it's like, there's one point, especially towards the end, where it's like, just send them out in groups of five. It'll be easier.
Just team up, lol.
But yeah, then the savior of the Rumble showed up right smack dab in the middle, which was Drew McIntyre. He got rid of Brock. The two had a very intense stare down. Brock actually hung out at ringside for a little bit after he got eliminated because he was super stunned.
First, Ricochet kicked him in the balls, and then Drew kicked him with the claymore over the top rope, and yeah.
Well, I mean, in terms of Ricochet, it worked for Daniel Bryan, right?
It worked for Daniel Bryan. It was payback because he got kicked in the balls from Brock, so it was only payback. It was fair.
Yeah, I mean, fair is fair.
A dick for a dick, an eye for an eye.
But we have to talk about, what do you want to talk about first? Do you want to talk about the big return that stole the night, or do you want to talk about Seth Rollins?
There was nothing much to Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins came in, he got rid of, him and his men came out. Hey, look at us big men, and then they got rid of Kevin and Joe and stuff. It was there. It was just, he wasn't a big factor until he got into a 4-on-1 showdown, but before we get to the 4-on-1 showdown, we need to talk about the one of those four men.
We think you know him. Sunday was such a roller coaster of a day. Oh my god.
Yeah, it was a day.
It was a day. If you don't know what happened, Google Sunday. You'll figure out what happened really quick. Much respect, much love to Kobe, by the way, and his family. Very, very sad that he's gone. But Sunday night, something that we were told 9 years ago was impossible happened. Edge returned to wrestling full-time, or not full-time, but in-ring performing. And we all sat here, and one, freaked out, naturally. But two, like, holy crap, he's back. Is he allowed to be back? Is he medically cleared to be back? And mind you, there had been rumors, right, that he had just denied. Like, no, I'm not in Houston. No, I'm not wrestling. Look, and he's posting pictures of his kids at home.
I haven't been to Pittsburgh, to be clear, and I haven't been backstage at shows.
I haven't signed a new deal. I don't know what you're talking about.
I mean, you know, I'm too busy being Super Dad.
And being on Vikings and doing other projects that he's doing. And yet, Sunday night, the King of Sleazy, the Rated R Superstar, whatever you want to call him.
The Ultimate Opportunist.
Alter Bridge. The beautiful, beautiful tones of Alter Bridge rang across the arena once more. The smoke flared up, and appearing from it was Edge. I don't even know if I could describe the reaction.
It was outstanding. The roof blew off the place. He was over, massive ovation. Dolph Ziggler sold the fact. It's like, oh my god, it's Edge. Oh my god, it's Edge. What in the world is Edge doing here?
Yeah, it's like, wait, he's back. Holy crap, he's back.
And then he gets in the ring, hits a spear. Wait, maybe hit a spear. We don't know. We didn't see it. Then we saw the second spear.
All right, he did hit the spear. They released the alternate footage. He did hit the spear. But yeah, that was a really unfortunate, we're going to call it, cut. And I understand they have their pattern and they do whatever, but, you know, you could have held just long enough for Edge to hit the spear before you cut to Roman Reigns.
Okay, so everyone gives them crap. Oh, can't believe they missed this spot or this spot. They do 7 hours of live TV every week now. They're good about 97% of the time of catching everything. It's unfortunate when it happens, but they catch most things. You do that every single week. 7 hours of TV times 52 and add in 5-hour pay-per-views every month. You do the math. They're on a 97% success rate. That's pretty good.
Yeah. It was. But I mean, it was just...
I can't give them crap for it.
I can give them crap for it. It was an unfortunate cut, and it was what it was, and I guess they were going to get Roman's reaction for the spear, and I don't know if Edge didn't hit it quick enough. I don't know what happened with that. I'm sure there's a reason why they didn't show it on the pay-per-view, but they did later release the footage of him hitting a beautiful spear. Mm-hmm. First one back in 9-ish years.
Well, it's the second one. First one since SummerSlam, but yeah.
I mean, technically we did see the first one, but the first really official one of in-ring competition.
So it's down to the final four. Edge, Drew, Roman, and Orton versus Seth Rollins. So final five. And then Roman and Seth goes over to Roman. Hey, buddy, do a thing. We just fought, but hey, buddy, thing, fist. Remember the fist thing? Remember we fist each other every single night? Remember that? Remember that thing where we fisted?
And he holds out his fist weakly to Roman. Roman's like, yeah, I kind of remember that. Yeah, I think there used to be a third, but I don't know what happened to him. Oh, wait, never mind. I don't really care. Boom! He knocks Seth Rollins right in the face.
And then everyone got to do stuff to Seth, and then Seth got tossed out of the ring.
Seth's favorite time, he got gangbanged.
Leaving it down to Edge, Drew, Roman, and Orton. And then Orton and Edge share a moment. Hey, buddy. Okay, remember the Rated RKO, that thing? Remember me, you, let's do a thing, let's dominate. So they did. They worked together for a while. And during the match, and then at the end, it's like, all right, we're going to get together. And then Orton gives a look. Edge sees the look. And he's like, oh. And we're both going here. Edge, don't trust him. And then Edge threw Orton over the top rope. And then Orton's like, you said we were a thing and the thing and the, oh, well, screw you.
Edge is the smartest person in that company. He knows not to trust Randy Orton. Ever. And I love Edge, who's like, he yells at Orton, I've been around you too long. I know you better than that.
So it's Drew and Roman and Edge. We're like, come on, Edge. Do the thing. Do it. And then Roman tossed him out. It's like, oh.
And then we're down to Drew. We're down to Roman. And then we're just down to Drew. And your winner of the 2020 Royal Rumble is Drew McIntyre. And he is punching his ticket to WrestleMania at long last to face Brock Lesnar for the WWE Championship. I will say it was really cool that they picked Drew to win.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this is an extremely long time coming for him. He's worked very, very hard to get to this because he was in WWE before. They lost confidence in him. He left.
Mm-hmm.
Not by choice. He was forced out. He was fired. And he went back out on the indies and he rebuilt himself and his career and he built a brand new character, brand new everything from the ground up, went to TNA, was in TNA for a long while, got himself over, re-signed with NXT and continued the progress there. And then they brought him up to the main roster and he kind of struggled for a little bit on the main roster, but he's now finally found his way to the top. So big, huge congratulations to Drew McIntyre as he moves forward. But I think, do you have any final thoughts before we take a break? Because I feel like we need to take a break.
We'll take a break in 1 second. 8-Ball went 2-6. You went 5-3. I went 6-2. Brent's gonna yell, no, you didn't. You went 5-3. No, I went 6-2 because I picked.
I mean, technically, you did go 5-3 because you know you did pick the other guy to win.
No.
We have the tapes.
Yeah, we have the tapes. It says what I said.
You picked the other guy, Chad.
Nope.
Totally did.
Nope.
He's rigging it.
Nope.
Somebody tell Tim. Brock's rigging it.
Nope.
Brock's cheating.
By the way, congrats to Quatch and Amy for winning the pick'em contest.
Yes, congratulations. I hope you enjoy your subs very much. Thank you again to Matt for doing that for us. That was very nice of you to offer to do that. So we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're doing all the other stuff that we normally do, which includes news, notes, NXT, and tweets. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. And we will be right back.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
Watching WTR Live programming just became more rewarding with WTR Live Championship Rewards. Earn WTR Live Contender Points and cash them in for WTR Live Championship Rewards, including creating a greater than great debate topic, create an all-time greatest bracket, or even produce the topics for an entire episode of Wrestle Talk Radio. You are probably wondering, how do I earn WTR Live Contender Points? Simple. Just watch us live at twitch.tv/WTR Live. It's that easy. It now makes it worth it to listen to Tim's bad jokes. Start earning your WTR Live Contenders Points now by listening to all of our programming live at twitch.tv/WTR Live.
What is the greatest of all time? Saturday nights. We decide from sports, video games, movies, and even the X-rated. You help us decide what is the greatest of all time. It is the Great and Great Debate, a part of your Saturday night.
Event.
CB Radio. Saturday nights. Midnight-ish Eastern. On the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every week, we jump into the world of
awesome!
With the Rack Extra Reviews, Ms. and Mrs.
This one had to go out and buy all the toys. She lifted my foot up, stuffed it straight up my ass, and said, "I don't care. Kid gets toys."
Yeah, check out the Rack Extra Reviews, Ms. and Mrs., available weekly at wildtalkradio.com and rackradioshow.com.
Did you know you can use support a creator code, Rock and Sock, in the Fortnite item shop? That's ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bell Twins, and you're listening to the Rack Radio Show. Something in your eyes lets me see right through you.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on wildtalkradio.com, brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you happen to have Twitch Prime available to you and you're listening to us on Twitch, well, click the little purple button up at the top of the screen and see if you have a subscription available. If you do, feel free to use it here. But if not, that's fine too. We won't judge you. Maybe a little, but not a lot. So anyway, I hope you guys enjoy the break. We are back and we are going to do Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I
Alrighty, so if you've been following the escapades of Tim the Tap Man in Florida, you know he's had quite a few internet troubles, and to the point that he's had to rent an office space with good internet so he can work. And he tweets out the following, "Got to the office, and the internet is out. LOL. I can't win." Trevor May responds, "Remember when you told me I had more technical difficulties than anyone you've ever met? Florida, dude. It was Florida." I mean, he's not wrong. Cloaksy, "I just want to play your game at B-State Games." Hannah replies, "Why doesn't it work for you?" And Dr. Lubo responds, "It only works for us good players."
Damn.
Cloaksy then brings up a stream a few days later, and his title is Better Than Lupo. Lupo got a screenshot of it, tweets him, and goes, "Don't make me kick on a rerun and have it get more views than you." The amount of dad in that is amazing. Cloak responds with, "I hope you die off-spawn your next 420 raids." Hamlins, "No matter how high a bird can fly, it always has to come down for a drink of water." Cloaksy, "Not if they catch rainwater in midair." Deep thoughts. With streamers. That's all I have.
Someone named Corey goes, "Campaigning for a better world as I brush up on my office skills. CC at Drew Gulak. Microsoft Office. We are looking forward to the final presentation, Marco. Here's something new to check out while you brush up." So he links to another product. Drew Gulak goes, "Morph, like sweets on the food pyramid, have always just been an isosceles triangle because they're objectively more wholesome, is best used sparingly. Great work. Thanks, Office." Microsoft Office. "Transitions, much like Cyclone Crash, are best used when you want to make PowerPoint. We'll be keeping an eye out for your next presentation as well, Drew." Yep. Drew Gulak in Microsoft Office. Going back and forth. Yep. That's where we're at.
At least we all learned something from it.
Mm-hmm. Austin Creed. "Let's go!" at Wayne Gretzky. It's a picture of him and Wayne Gretzky. Kenny Omega. "How many people did you have to ask before they told you his name, Creed?" Austin Creed. "The same number of people I had to ask to find out yours."
Ooh!
Cooksey. "Most like comment in 48 hours. I changed my FN name to Dr. Lupo." Choksey. "It has 32,000 likes. He'll probably be his in-game now. Email. Dr. Britt Baker. "Anyone else humming Edge's song on the way to work this morning, or just me?"
No, we all were.
Ricochet. Rick O'Shea is King Ricochet. It's Rick O'Shea is his name on Twitter. "Hey, Edge. I think maybe your return overshadowed me kicking Bork in his gimmicks. It's okay and all. I just wanted to let you know." So we're going to talk about it in a little bit. But on NXT... Yesterday on Twitter, NXT Twitter put out, or a couple days ago, was Finn attacking Trent in the parking lot, right?
Poor Trent.
Kenta. "NXT still not hire security for the parking lot? Just talk to myself." Rogue. "Just found out Dr. Lupo isn't actually a doctor. Is anyone honest on the internet anymore? # sin goes rogue." Ewok. "Lupo is Lucifer in Latin."
True.
True.
I mean, it is.
I mean, true. Cloaksy, "Just saw a piece of white paper on the floor and thought it was a lap card. I need sleep." Yeah. Yeah, you do. Anyway, tweets.
All right, so that does it for Tweet of the Week. Now we're going to jump right into the news brought to our friends over at MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. And we were going to take it really easy on the news today. There wasn't really a lot to talk about. We just had a couple of items.
It was very lighthearted.
We had a couple injuries we had to talk about, which is never fun, but we just had a couple, easy things, fun things to talk about. And then WWE fired their co-presidents today at the end of the day, right at 5:00. That was a thing that happened.
Yeah.
I don't even know what to think of that.
Yeah. So officially WWE announced today that co-presidents George Berrios and Michelle Wilson will depart the company effective immediately and will no longer serve on its board of directors.
And that's how you tell it was a firing right there.
Yep.
It was. It's not the effective immediately. It's they are not on the board of directors anymore. They done got fired. There's no word on why this has happened. Obviously, there's probably not going to be a lot of information that's coming out. There's a lot of speculation. There's a lot of rumors. People are saying that WWE is in chaos right now because nobody's running the company. Vince did put out a statement that basically said that they weren't going.
Here, I'll read it. I would like to thank George and Michelle for their 10 plus years of service and contributions to the organization. I am grateful for all that was accomplished during their tenure, but the board and I decided to a change was necessary as we have a different views on how best to achieve our strategic priorities moving forward. Frank A. Riddick III will be who's been on board member for 11 years has been named interim chief financial officer and will report to WWE chairman and CEO Vince McMahon. And a search has begun for a new CFO and CRO.
This is really interesting because part of what's happening next week for WWE is their Q4
for 2019. It was the 2019 Q4.
Yeah, is scheduled to come out
February 6th.
So there is speculation that is tied to that. There's speculation it's very low. This also kind of maybe indicates that there is a power struggle going on within the company. I don't want to say that with any certainty, but anytime anything like this happens, it's either there's a scandal that has not hit the fan yet and is getting ready to hit the fan or has been covered up, or somebody's making a grab at power. Him saying they're not going in the direction we want them to go leads me to believe it's something to do with power.
It could. It might not be power. It may just be a money thing. And when you come up short in any company, when your projections are X and they come in Y, you see your way out the door. A lot of people get fired normally. Like, to have a president in its position for that period of time for a large company doesn't always happen. People move, people get fired, especially publicly traded companies. They get moved around quite often.
That's true, they do. But in most situations where you come up short, the lower management typically takes the hit before the top of the food chain. The president gets called in. The president is required to explain why the company is losing money, why the company has lost money. And you bring the CFO in, and the CFO has to explain all that, and then the VPs of finance have to come in. And so everybody below the president essentially has to justify what's going on. And then you typically cut that layer of management out, and then you task the president with finding someone that's going to fix the problem. The fact that the head's essentially been cut off, this is big.
It's big. But it also goes to show what's been going on. The trend is that everything's been lower. Last quarter wasn't great. They were below expectations last quarter, but they were supposed to rebound this quarter.
And maybe they're not rebounding yet.
And they didn't. They missed their mark. They missed their expectations for the quarter, for the second quarter in a row. So it's like, you had one quarter, okay. Last quarter, Eric Bischoff got fired. That he was the scapegoat last quarter because the ratings weren't turning around, etc. Bischoff was fired last quarter, right before the stock meeting.
No, there's something else.
There is.
There's something else tied to this because you don't give somebody unless. Okay, let me back this up. So unless they've given them chance after chance after chance after chance, which they very well could have. In this scenario, to give someone one quarter to turn something around, that's not entirely feasible because you really can't turn an entire company around in a quarter. It's, okay, you have a year, or you have 6 months, or you have whatever to turn this around, and if we don't see improvement in that time, then we're going to reassess. There's something else tied to this. There's something big tied to this to oust both of them. Not just one, both. That's the thing. So I don't know what it is. I'm speculating it's earnings, but it could be something more. They also could have decided that they wanted to move on. This could be completely just them saying, hey, we want out. We don't want to do this. We don't want to go in the direction that you're doing. And it could be a mutual parting of the ways. But them being removed from the board of directors leads me to believe that maybe it's not. But we're going to continue to monitor this. I'm sure some information will come out here and there, but everybody needs to keep an eye on this because this is big. This is really, really big. And also who they get to replace them if they go with one or two.
I would assume they fill in both positions over time.
Over time, but it's...
I don't know if they'll get the president title. They'll just be the CFO and CRO of the company.
But you typically have a president of the organization, so who's going to become the president of the organization?
Vincent Kennedy McMahon. I don't know.
I mean, he could.
I don't know what they're full. Like, they could have many executive presidents and stuff. You don't know.
Well, the way that it typically works is you have the president, who is the head of the company, and you have the board of directors, and Vince is the chairman of the board, and he runs the board of directors, and he's the owner of the company. The president is his representative to the company. Below the president, you have the CEO, you have the CFO, you have the C-whatever-O. Those are the chief, like, that's basically where Stephanie McMahon is right now, is she's the chief branding officer, she's the CBO, so she's one step below the president. And then you have your senior VPs, you have your VPs, and then it trickles on down from there. So,
yeah.
If they...
So, Vince is chairman and CEO. Those were co-presidents. Hunter, it was below them as executive vice president. That was the current structure.
Yeah. So, I don't know who's going to get moved into the president role. Vince could take it over. I would not be surprised or shocked if Stephanie does not end up as president of WWE. Just going to throw that out there. That's pure speculation. That's my guess. But I would not be the least bit surprised if that doesn't happen.
Imagine Linda being put back in the role.
She could. She could very easily go back into being the president of the company she was before. She's no longer serving in government. She has, so I mean, they could very easily give that role back to her, and she could do it. I don't know if she wants to.
No, she probably doesn't want to. I think she's separated herself, and yeah.
I think she lives her life, and I think she's quite happy doing whatever she's doing. And I mean, honestly, this is not an offense to Linda at all. I don't think she would necessarily be the right person for the job.
No, but also she could be a stopgap as they find.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, she could absolutely be a stopgap.
That was more what my point was. She would be a stopgap.
But that's why I'm saying I wouldn't be surprised if Stephanie doesn't end up with it.
But we'll monitor the situation as it goes.
Yeah, so that's big. That's huge. The other big news that broke today, or not today, but this week.
Yesterday.
Is, for those of you that are fans of the Bella Twins and Total Bellas and Total Divas and all that stuff, we have watched and documented Nikki Bella's struggle with marriage and children. And I'm very happy to say that at long last, my friends, the struggle for Nikki is over. Not only is she engaged, she is also expecting a bundle of joy. And as if that's not great enough, Brie is also pregnant with her second child, and they're due less than 2 weeks apart.
Yeah. One, Matt, that plays a key factor in everything that went down. Well, yeah. XFL. But yeah.
Yeah, that's the other part of it.
Yeah, there's a lot going on there. So, the Bellas are pregnant. What was funny, Nikki was doing a thing with People, right? And they were talking about the pregnancies and whatever. The day before she found out she was pregnant, she was thinking about freezing her eggs again. They were going through that process again.
Yep.
Fitting.
Very fitting. Very fitting.
So congrats to the twins. And they're like, now that they're having twins, sort of, just, you know, not in the same uterus.
I'm really happy for both of them. I feel a little bad for Artem and a little bad for Brian because they're going to have to deal with two pregnant women. And Brian's got to deal with a pregnant Nikki and a pregnant Brie.
Yeah. That'll be fun.
So he's going to have an interesting few months here shortly. So will Artem. So, but congratulations to the twins and the family as they celebrate this wonderful, happy news. I really don't know how to transition that, but, you know, actually I do. I figured that out. And other happy news, Kalisto and Mandy Rose have signed new contracts with WWE. So congratulations to them.
Congrats.
And we were talking about moves before. We're talking about changes inside WWE. And there's a very, another suspicious change that happened inside WWE. And that is that they have inexplicably changed the Raw announce team, where Vic Joseph was removed the night of the Royal Rumble. He was not there. He was replaced with Tom Phillips. And on Monday night, they had Tom Phillips, Byron Saxton, so Byron's back, and the King calling Monday Night Raw.
Apparently Vic Joseph was seen at the NFL studios today.
Somebody get a new job?
Maybe that's what happened. I don't know.
I mean, he could have easily gotten a new job. He's a very talented individual, so if he did, I'll offer my early congratulations in whatever he's doing.
Yes, Jerry the King Lawler.
Yeah, Jerry the King Lawler. He's with Byron and Tom Phillips for now. So very happy that Byron and Tom Phillips are both back on Raw. They're a great team. Poor Tom Phillips. His voice was shot Monday because he had to call the whole pay-per-view.
And NXT and the pay-per-view and then Raw. Yeah.
Yeah, he was a little tired by the end of it. So, but good on him. Congratulations to him. Sylvain Grenier has been hired as a producer for WWE.
I mean, it's mid-2000s. It's all coming
together. What year is it?
It's all coming together.
It's all coming back to me now. And then, well, if you're a baseball fan.
Woo!
And you happen to be at Miller Park.
Woo!
You can woo along with the rest of the crowd because it's going to be WWE night on Saturday, July 25th.
In Milwaukee.
In Milwaukee. Where they're going to do a WWE night ticket package, and you're going to get a seat for the game against the Pirates, plus take home a limited edition WWE item.
For WWE night. Woo!
So that's fun.
Can you tell what our news was before the big stuff chat?
Yeah. Yeah, we like I said, we had really light news, right? Because there's not a lot to talk about. We had Rumble, we were going to do light news, and then we were going to play a little Fortnite because there's challenges, and then people got fired today.
In other news, Impact, his next pay-per-view will be called Rebellion on April 19th.
Woo-hoo!
Woo!
And, well, last but certainly not least, the Blame Brits.
Bones breaking. Backs cracking. Shoulders snapping. It's this week's Injury Roundup.
So, the Rumble had a couple casualties that are a little unfortunate, especially for this time of year. You had AJ Styles with an injured shoulder.
Separated shoulder.
Hashtag blame Brent.
You had Samoa Joe with a concussion.
Hashtag blame Brent.
That happened on Raw.
And then Io Shirai with an injured knee.
Hashtag blame Brent.
That sucks.
AJ's 4 to 6 weeks. Joe is undetermined. Io 2 months.
So I hope they all feel better. I really, really, really do. And they're back in time for Mania. Because now is not, like, you always hear WWE superstars say, now is not the time to get hurt.
Nope.
You don't want to get left off Mania.
NXT?
NXT?
It's time for this week's edition of the NXT Rundown.
Okay, NXT. This was a solid show. Show opened with the footage we talked about, Trent Seven being attacked, and then it led to Finn Balor and Trent Seven. Trent made the stupid mistake. He made such a stupid mistake, rolling into the ring and turning his back on Finn.
Yeah, the Artful Dodger kind of messed that one up a little bit. He put up a really great fight with Finn, and it was a wonderful match, and I would love to see more of that. But yeah, Trent kind of made a tactical error there, just a little bit.
Good match. Finn got the win.
As he should.
Shotzi Blackheart took on Deonna Purrazzo. Deonna had new entrance music. Shotzi had a tank.
I like the tank.
Okay.
It fits her.
Okay, so the internet goes, oh my god, I can't believe she's copying Sammy Guevara from AEW when he went outside the building. You're wrong. She's been doing on this thing for on the indies forever.
It's her own personalized tank.
Yeah. So, there you go. So Shotzi got the win over Deonna. Solid little match.
Again, that's another one I would like to see more of, and I'm sure I will, but it's Deonna Purrazzo, and I think Shotzi have a lot to show, and I just want to see it.
Mm-hmm. Keith Lee came out. He talked about it's a limitless NXT North. He's the new limitless NXT North American champion. He's the game changer, moment maker, and now Prophecy Ender. And then he was going to tell him what his next direction is. Damian Priest came out. Priest says he likes taking things, whether it's a group of women that got, like, no... Like, what did he say?
Yeah. Yeah, that was a little,
I don't know about that.
That was just a little, like, really? Really? That's okay. All right, that's just a tad sexist. But all right, we're going to let you go, Damien. We're going to let you go.
We're priceless possessions. He takes what he wants, and he wants the North American title. He asked, how are you going to give it to me? Before he can answer, Dominik Dijakovic came out. They jaw-jacked. Keith Lee's like, these two men should just fight it out, and they just fought it out. And it was Damian Priest and Dominik fighting it out, with Dominik getting the win. It was there. It was fine.
It was good. It was a really interesting match. We're seeing a new direction for Damian Priest, which is fine. Not sure how it's going to go yet, but it's a new direction. So, okay. Let's see what it does.
It's a new direction. Kathy Kelly is interviewing Tommaso Ciampa. He said Goldie's coming home tonight. He's going to make sure of it. So he has this metal pole in his hand, or steel pipe, whatever you want to call it.
Anytime he says Goldie's coming home and he has a steel pipe in his hand, that never end well for anybody.
So we come back, and you see Bobby Fish, Kyle O'Reilly, and Roderick Strong all knocked out. Ciampa walks by, his shirt's ripped up, he drops his pipe.
It's the implied he committed a felony.
He comes out, grabs a table. He has a spray can of paint in his pocket. He draws a giant X on the table. Took him forever to get the table set up. Ciampa is the guy who... Adam Cole came out. He says, you know, he comes out, he's jaw-jacking. Ciampa said he's never lost a title, Goldie's coming home. So he's going to drop him through the X, and that's what's going to be. William Regal comes out.
Poor William Regal.
Adam Cole...
Oh my God, poor William Regal.
Adam Cole signed the contract already. And then it's like, I was just going to come out here and say, you know, let you sign in, yada, yada, yada. So Adam Cole grabs the contract. He says he's Adam Cole, the NXT champion of the world. He's going to walk up these stairs, and then he attacked Ciampa. They go back and forth, but Ciampa ends up dropping him through the table, picks up the contract, signs it, then puts his blood on it because his head got cut open, I guess from a piece of the table?
I'm guessing. I'm not sure how he got cut open.
Either a piece of table or the belt caught him right on top of the head, and they smeared it in blood. That was a good segment.
It was a really good segment. I really liked how they did that. I don't even know how to feel about it other than William Regal is tired. We're going to get more into that later, but poor William Regal. He did not have a good night.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he did, but he didn't.
So it was Dakota Kai and Tegan Nox. Okay. This match was shorter than predicted, but it was a brawl. It was a good little brawl. All right. The best part was the beginning where Tegan comes out. She's all serious, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then Dakota puts the Tron up again with the beating. It's perfect. Perfect setup. Re-showing the beating. They brawl. They're brawling a little bit. There's a chair gets picked up, threatened to be used. Before a chair could be used, Candice LeRae came out, stopped Dakota from using the chair on Tegan. The knee brace was in there as well. Referee was distracted, so Tegan hit Dakota with the knee brace, and then the shiniest wizard for the victory, so Tegan got some revenge on Dakota. Afterwards, on Twitter, the photo that was put out by NXT is William Regal so mad, and Dakota's just looking and like, yeah, I mean...
Tegan.
Sorry?
Tegan looks so damn proud of herself, it's not funny.
Yeah.
I feel like William Regal is tired, y'all. Hunter's kids just will not behave themselves. He keeps leaving them with their Uncle William. He's doing his best, and he's just tired. He's just so tired of this crap. But this match left me wanting, which I know it was supposed to, but it didn't leave me wanting in a very good way. It was a little disappointing because it's like, just let them fight. Don't do a regular match. Just let them fight.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you had such good energy around this where you had, like, Dakota run out into the crowd and decimate Tegan last week and just beat the crap out of her.
Mm-hmm.
You had an opportunity in the Rumble to, again, really push this, and they didn't, and that's fine. But there was an opportunity there. And then this happened, and I think a lot of us were really excited for this because we've been waiting for this. And it was just not there. Now, I know they're going to do it again, and that's fine. And hopefully this one is much more of a finish than what this was on NXT.
It was the debut of Chelsea Green under the Robert Stone era. Chelsea's dominating. She's just dominating Kenny Carter. She's very cocky. She believes this is, you know, her crap doesn't stink. She's celebrating. And then out of nowhere, small package, 1, 2, 3, Chelsea Green lost.
Gotta watch those small packages, man.
I mean, yeah. I liked the finish. I know, like, the new girl should always get the first win, but it's like, she's a heel. She's very cocky. So it's like, you know, it'll lead us somewhere. It was good. Then it was your main event for the Dusty Rhodes Cup, Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic Final. It was the Broserweights, Pete Dunne and Matt Riddle, against the Grizzled Young Veterans. Hell of a match. Whew, hell of a
match. This was so good.
I enjoyed the crap out of it. This was awesome. They tore the house down. Yeah, it was perfect. Great near falls. Great stuff. The tombstones on the outside were nice. There was just, yeah, a lot of great stuff in this one. Go out of your way. Go see this match. But Pete Dunne and Matt Riddle are your Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic winners, and they'll fight for the tag team titles on the 16th in Portland.
Hey, yeah, I would recommend going and watch this if you didn't see this. I love the back and forth. I love the story that they told, because there's one point in this match where you're sitting there and you're watching it and you're like, wait, are the Grizzled Young Veterans actually going to win? They make you doubt it for a second.
They did.
Like, they really, really did. Because it could go either way. Like, it seriously could, but you're sitting there going, wait, are they actually going to do that? But no, in the end, Pete and the Bro Man were victorious.
Mm-hmm.
But that was NXT.
That was indeed NXT.
And I think that does it for us. What do you think?
Yeah. So coming up in just about 5, 6, 7, something like that, will be another edition of Fortnite with Friends. So stay tuned for that. Saturday night, midnight ish. It's another edition of Steve Burrito. It's Ground Bears Day. Saturday. Ground Bears Day. Yep, that's a thing. Tune in. Find out what it's all about. Steve Burrito, SteveBurritoLive.com, GreaterThanGreatDebate.com. Super Bowl. No WTR Sunday. They will be back on the 9th. They will be back on the 9th. Monday night's Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. Check out the Rack Extra Reviews, Ms. and Mrs. Episode 1 now available. Episode 2 will be available on Wednesday at 10:30 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. It's Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, because we have it working again. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcast, the Rack Radio Show. It's at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. If you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Twitch Prime. You can subscribe for free. Also, use creator code ROCKINSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. That's a hashtag ad, because we're a hashtag epic partner. Football skins are back. Before we go, Lindsay. 49ers or Chiefs?
You know, I think Andy's going to get his bucket. I think he's going to do it. I'm going Chiefs.
Yeah, me too. Chiefs. Gotta go.
We'll find out.
Gotta support Big Red on this one. He deserves it. If anyone deserves a Super Bowl win, it's Andy. He deserves one.
I think the Chiefs deserve it. Not to say that San Francisco doesn't, but like, the Chiefs organization has been through so much in the last 5 to 10 years that I really feel like they do deserve it, because they have absolutely turned themselves around. So I'm hoping the Chiefs win. But I would be fine with San Francisco. I just hope they both don't show up in red, because that will be really awkward and someone's going to have to change.
One's going
to
be white, one's going to be red.
I know this, but again, they both better not wear red, because I'll get really confused really quick. So anyway, speaking of fine content, go check out mbgfilmsyoutube.com/mbg1211 and see everything that Matt is doing, because it's wonderful. And you can follow me on all the social medias and on Twitch at Lens Ward, LNSWRD. So definitely go give me a follow, like, subscribe. Whatever. Actually, you can't technically subscribe to me because I'm not affiliated yet.
Follow,
so everybody,
follow.
Everybody go to twitch.tv/LinsWard, LINSWRD, and follow me so I can get to affiliated. That would be wonderful and awesome, and I would love you all for it so very much.
Follow.
But, huh?
Follow.
Yes. Follow. I'm trying to make an effort to stream more. I just...
Follow the Ward. Run.
I don't think that's how that works.
Doesn't have the same ring to it.
Life gets in the way. So, alright. That does it for us. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to go get Brent and Omega, and then we are going to do Fortnite with Friends. So, thanks everybody to listening. You've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you in just a few minutes. Bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.